The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.
The Sample Access Podcast, episode 57.
Welcome
Welcome to
57.
Yeah, that's what's up.
We're happy to welcome you.
Should
we jump into the episode, or we should do our regular?
Obviously, I don't like the whole thing of, you know, jumping into episodes and all of that. We need to chill, you know, relax. I mean, there should be a bottle of, you know, Hennessy in front of us, or Bel Air, like Rick Rosé. You understand?
Music is, like, you know, everlasting.
Exactly. It's quite exciting, though.
And it's inexhaustible. Always, we look at some of the episodes we have done, the unlikeliest combinations, from Lacon to Naughty by Nature, Alphaville, Jay-Z. Outfield, some of those, you know, Ira Starr, Ligia the Sisters. So the names are wild. Like, there's a lot of people.
You know, one of the things I like the most about music is how we connect sounds even without knowing.
Yeah.
You know that thing about, I mean, we have had that conversation. I think that was one of the first things we even started talking about when we started talking about Sample Access Podcast. The fact that there are just 12 notes available for you to mess around with and create something new. So there is always going to be a point where you would say, this song sounds like this song, or there's something, you know, that is, you know, the same vibe, the same energy, the same connection. You can feel that in any of those songs. But one thing you know for sure is that music can connect to people in different ways. So I can be 12 and listen to a song from the Outfield, and 25 years later, I would make a song that sounds like exactly what I heard from the Outfield. Not because I necessarily want to steal it,
but because
that's one way or the other inspired me to
do
that song in that way. Now, there are going to be a lot of, you know, maybe Nigerian, because I'm Nigerian in this case, Nigerian effects or one or two things added to it. But it still doesn't take away from the fact that music is powerful, you know.
Speaking of switching sounds, I'm not able to put my thoughts together, but I listened to a Grime song today. I still don't know the difference between Grime and drill. God save me.
Did you see what I see? Yeah.
So this song started with a blue tone. I wish I could play it right now, but it's a Grime song from the UK. I can't even remember.
Big shout out to Yemi, though. He's around, you know, giving us inspiration.
Yeah, shout out to Yemi. So this song started with, you know, blues.
Yeah.
In fact, because of this conversation, I'll have to find it.
Come on. This is Sample Access Podcast. Blues. We do this. You guys should be used to this by now.
So that sound of blues, somehow they now rode a drill beat on that blues, but they kept the loop of the blues tune. This is something that you would hear from Nina Simone or Doris Day or Billie Holiday. So I just need to find it. While I'm trying to explain, the difference in that song is the blues loop.
Mm-hmm.
There are 100 Grime songs.
Okay, yeah.
You hear them back to back and it wouldn't make impact.
True.
But because of that blue, that simple loop that the producer added to that beat,
mm-hmm.
it made it sound different. And that was the moat. That's the difference for that song. Sad I can't find it right now. And I really wish I could. Because it was in the algorithm. I really didn't search for the song. I was searching for Odumodu Black. And I listened to the first Odumodu song, and the algorithm took me to the UK drill scene, and I couldn't decipher. But I enjoyed that song. If I heard it again, I would remember you, and I'll keep it.
Yeah.
Because that's a standout. It's like there's something that's different from.
And the reason why
it's different from the
reason why
songs.
The reason why you're talking about this over and over again is because of the fact that you noticed that there was something, there was a genre switching places, and you could tell that either the producer or the artist has, you know, something.
There's a combination.
There's a connection. I mean, I think I need to talk about, when I talk about samples, I feel like there are a few people that you like to just, you know, point out and say how good they are. We're still on to this. Don't worry, we're going to get to what we're going to get to very soon. But Kanye West, sometimes I'm like, what the heck is going on in this guy's head? Because you can tell from, I mean, I listened to Collect Dropout, Late Registration, and I was amazed. Not because of, I mean, he's a good rapper, great rapper, awesome musician. The combination, Kanye literally touches every genre of music. Maybe he hasn't messed with rock a lot, because I don't think there are a lot of rock sounds he has messed with. But EDM, blues, synth pop,
R&B.
I mean, the classic Daz. I mean, Daz is, you know, disco and jazz.
Mm.
Jazz. This guy is like, every time, and then you can tell how much he listens to music because of how he makes those, yeah. you know, it's crazy. And then you now get to listen to songs, like one of the first songs that we're going to talk about today, that was, you know, that metamorphosed from the outfield and was done again with the reggaeton and all of the madness that went into that song.
And then, you know,
it's just maddening, you know, thinking about it and be like, yeah, this is just beautiful. To get, you know, beautiful to listen to. It's just amazing.
I think this is one of those episodes where we get to touch on a lot of switching.
Yeah.
With the range from, what's the genre of the outfield?
Outfield is rock, pop rock.
Nothing synth?
Nothing. No,
pop
no.
rock.
Yeah.
Pop rock to white.
Exactly. You know what? You know, I'm going to feel good about this. I didn't see because I'd not read, but I remember the genre in my head.
Yeah.
Pop rock, yeah.
Pop rock.
Pop rock, new wave, pop rock.
Now, pop rock to Wyclef Jean.
Yeah, Wyclef Jean is known, but that's a reggaeton, exactly.
And then from that, I'm a piano.
Mm-hmm.
Me, Yoko, and I am fair.
Mm.
Years apart. Decades apart.
Call me crazy, but I think the connection between, you know, Your Love by the outfield to Wyclef Jean is more stronger than, you
we
know,
have not done
the
a
link.
Proper introduction to, yeah, the, to, yeah, the, true. To the beats. But before leading to that, I like the fact that this episode is going to touch on a broad range. This should be, you know, the outfield, Wyclef and Iron Fair should be on the other side. The first side is Akpala music, which when I talked about that tiny beat in blues being embedded to a grime or drill record to make it unique, this is the same thing we have seen here.
Yeah.
A lady called Veronica Vega, who is a reality TV.
Yeah, Cuban
reality TV star in the
TV
in the
star,
US.
Yeah.
And featuring Quavo on that song titled A Million Times.
Yeah, A Million Times.
The beginning of that song started with a song that was
A Million, just
made
a million.
In 2003 by Musiliu Haruna Ishola. Now, Ise Oluwa ko se ni toye.
Ise Oluwa ju ta fa lo.
Now, I'm not sure they embedded the talking drum. They just picked that. And that Ise Oluwa ko se
ni toye
is part of the entire song.
I mean, that's the major. That's the.
It's part of the chorus. Or,
yeah, the major thing of that song.
And I don't really think it's the meaning that they picked.
Well, we
I think
know,
it's the vibe.
The work of God is stronger than the work that any.
But
other
I can assure you, the producer.
I'm very sure the man just like, oh yeah, this is an amazing vibe.
Follow the dawn.
Add it, bro.
Maybe they just played it. I'm
in,
like,
bro.
I like that vibe. Let's start with that. Ise Oluwa, and they turned it into what's that genre? That's hip hop.
Yeah, hip hop. That's pure hip hop. Because
hip-hop,
I mean,
it's 2010s.
I mean, hip hop 2010s hip hop. Because you know we are. Yeah, should we talk about that?
Yeah. Let's break it down easy. All
right.
Let's break it down easy. All
so
right,
let's go.
The first part. Just to introduce, just so everybody knows, you may have seen from the, like you see from, like you have seen from the title of this episode is Musiliu Haruna Ishola, son of the great Haruna Ishola, the legend, the Akpala legend, from Ijebu Igbo in Ogun State.
Ogun State, yeah.
Being sampled by a lady in Boston or where?
Yeah, she just, Atlanta actually.
A reality TV star in America,
in Atlanta.
Featuring one of the Migos, Quavo. In a song titled A Million, it's just far apart. It's there's no way you could predict that.
I mean, let me tell you the truth.
No,
about
no, before we go on,
okay.
That first part is Veronica Vega sampling Musiliu Ishola, and the other part is where we listen to a song by Anyo Fe featuring Mayo Kun, both of formerly of DMW. I don't know what the situation is. So Anyo Fe sampled, from what we gather or from what I can tell. Directly Wyclef. I don't think Ayonfe has access to the outfield.
I don't know. I don't think. We don't know.
And that might not even be Ayonfe. It might be Mayokun.
Like, I mean, I
think it's Mayokun.
Okay.
Mayokun took the chorus.
Yeah.
But because Ayonfe
owns the song. But I think Mayokun is the one. I'm very sure
Mayokun
is the one
up with
who,
that.
Yeah.
Because Mayokun is that guy that could relate to people like Wyclef like that. We
true,
have seen
true.
Examples.
True. So, I mean, it's very evident in his music.
So let's switch it. Even though the title says Ayonfe, Mayokun sampling Wyclef Jean. And Wyclef Jean sampling the outfields. So that's the layout of what we're talking about today. And let's begin with Musiliu Haruna Ishola. How much do you know about the man?
Musiliu Haruna Ishola. Okpo Akpala Tisu, finally. Well, that's the first thing you think about when you think about
So
I mean, that's the thing. I know what, as a youngin, that was a song.
Early 2000s.
Like if you were listening to music, anytime the early 2000s, yeah, at some point, especially if you were living in the southwestern part of Nigeria.
Yeah.
You were living in the southwest, because
that was if there were charts that reflected what the streets were saying.
Two Face was out, like the time we have TTC now. A couple of artists around that time, 2002, 2003, 2004, they were heading almost all the parties, especially if you were in the southwestern part of Nigeria.
So popular music is hard to, especially in those times. Even now,
there's no way you could actually quantify or measure.
You can't tell because
But TTC, thank God for TTC now.
Yeah, well, even that doesn't represent popular music. Fuji doesn't have representation, so we popular music only belongs to one side of you know, whatever is on radio, which is directed by the labels, directed by what we call popular music. You know, radio, TV. It's a cliche. We play the same thing. We don't play, except we want to throw back, we'll throw back to the OGs. But a lot of times, this debate is still active. Timestamp, April 2022, and there's a major debate about Afrobeat bullying everybody.
You know, that's, so, sometimes I don't like to, this conversation, I have my thoughts.
What's your thoughts?
I think it's a lot, so I'll
try. Break it down.
So like this, every time in terms of music, there's always one genre that leads.
Yeah.
It's not weird.
It's normal.
I don't like the way the OGs are addressing the issue.
In what sense? How are they?
Some of them are making it look like, oh yeah, one of this has fallen off. Even though we know.
I don't think that's what the OGs
are saying. I've read a couple of what they are saying. Some of them are saying some people are not doing enough. This is the wave. Do you understand? I mean, it's like you see.
I've heard those OGs also say. Yeah, some of them. This is what's happening. A lot of times, when Juju was popping, Afro Juju and Fuji came and displaced.
I mean,
Fuji.
let's go to the hub. I mean, we are going to get to the outfield. I thought we were actually going to start with the outfield. I didn't know that but it's all good. The outfield is like a perfect representation of, you know, being at the right place at the right time. Do you understand? It was not about being the greatest musicians of all time. It was just, we were at the right place at the right time. That's why we are classic people. They have a place in history. Because what they did, nobody else did it.
What decade? 80s?
In the 80s. And it was weird because they were promotional guys.
Are you really sure they are those guys?
Come on. I know what I'm saying when I'm saying. But give
me 10 people in their class. I'm saying, or 5 people
in
their
the British market.
Oh, okay.
These guys didn't sell a lot of records in UK. And they were from the UK. They sold records in the US. That was something that we never saw.
Were the police out at the same time?
I mean, those guys were already kicking it. But police were making money both ways. Let me explain what I'm trying to say to you quickly. I'm just going to quickly branch out to outfield and then come back to this genre thing. When the outfield were making music, they were making pop rock. Pop rock wasn't weird for British people at the time. I mean, we had people that were doing sounds like David Bowie. So it was not strange. We had, you know, people doing EDM, Eurythmics, exactly. So those guys were big first in the UK and then went on to transition into the US. Now you're talking about a group that had nothing working for them in the UK and were big in the US. That was uncalled for at the time, because, I mean, for you to make a promotional music move from the UK to, you must have been big in the UK.
To wrap up on that point, you put them in a special place.
I put them in a special place because they did what a lot of people thought was impossible. You had to make sales. I mean, it's like they went against the laws of actually making it. When you say somebody wants to make it, the same thing's happening right now. Afrobeat is going to be big in Nigeria, then it's going to span to the continent, then it's going to get to the US, and then it gets to the, you know, other parts of the world. But then you leave all of the basics and then you fly all the way to the hub. Come on. It happens. But then saying that, you know, genres would always take place. It's like disco. Disco was 70 to 78, 79. I mean, now Rodgers and Chic were, Bee Gees were winning Grammys back to back. Bee Gees brought in Tavares and Kool and the Gang had never won a Grammy. They have been active since 1960 until they appeared in Bee Gees, you know, standard album.
Yeah.
That's you know, Saturday Night Fever. They didn't win a Grammy. Sometimes you think how much. I mean, Kool & the Gang, just to put you in perspective, Kool & the Gang were big already before 1978, 1979. They were even one of the biggest in the 80s. Or I mean, I was given a hierarchy yesterday on my show about some of the, you know, biggest groups in the biggest artists in the 80s. Prince, Michael Jackson, Hall & Oates, Kool & the Gang. There's no, every other person falls behind them. But still, they didn't get a lot of Grammy awards. They didn't get a lot of Grammy nominations until, because of what? Right place at the right time. That's it. It doesn't mean that their legacy does not remain. Do you understand?
So that we can trace this back, right place at the right time, I wonder what Paulo the Don, the producer of this song, was doing when he thought about, I wonder who played that song for him. I wonder where he got it from. Again, we can't tell because we weren't there.
Exactly. We don't know
whether it was him or it was Veronica Vega or it was Quavo.
I heard the song or something. But it was cool.
Right place at the right time, they decided to make Musiliu Haruna Ishola's song the bed of that song. So back to Musiliu Haruna Ishola, just to like do the quick recap of on the much I know about him. I read an interview he granted Punch in 2021 talking about his legacy, his music and stuff. Apparently, he has 30 albums. 30 albums.
Madness.
Started making music 1983 when his dad passed. Baba, Haruna Ishola passed in 1983.
Yeah, from 1919 till 1983.
Yes, so it fell upon him. In fact, the story goes that his father wanted him to be part of the band, to move with him. He was driver... was the truck driver for the band and manager. He was managing his father all through the 80s, those times when he was...
Late 70s to early 80s.
Following what the band was doing, so he learned the ropes. In fact, he said his brothers, his siblings were traveling abroad to study where, you know, he actually felt like, why does my father hate me? Why doesn't he want me to travel abroad too? Why is he showing me the ropes in the band? Why does he want me to be a musician? So at the end of the day, when the man passed, it fell upon him, and family people and other people were like, let's keep the Baba's legacy and
exactly keep
going. And good news is,
it wasn't strange, because you think about it, I think in the story it says that he is the fourth generation of the Akpala singers from his family. So I think that switch,
his father was an Akpala musician,
Akpala again,
and then the generation before that, so amazing, like four generations of Akpala musicians. So there's something that interested me.
They used to call it before Ewele. So
must have been Ewele. Yeah, it can't be Ewele.
No, Ewele, the first two generations called it Ewele, and then his own father.
Did you read the parts where they talk about the making of the genre called Akpala? The man...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Haruna Ishola was making music without the drums.
Yeah.
At the time,
that's why they switched from Ewele to Akpala. Akpala. So that combination.
The drums, and I don't know if these drums are a type of drums, but the drums, because he was singing at an occasion, and one man called Ishola came around and was drumming to his own set. And he felt like this is a good combination, which is what happens when you have a team of producers like, you know, Dr. Dre and who? Dr. Dre or you have...
Dr. Dre and Eminem in the building.
Yeah, you have...
You know, I think that's also something
that's
that
production
works.
Yeah, production quality. That's some dope-ass production, and they created something. So I felt that that's good. And that's why he retained the name Ishola. That's why he retained the name Ishola, because his name is Haruna. Musiliu, the son of Haruna Ishola, picked up the sound and started making music. In 1996, he did Akpala Resurrection. That was the album, I think, one of those ones that started. And then the big one, before So You You, there was Fire Blast, there was Faji Series, there was Happiness. And So You You in 2003, Whatever Happened, Right Place, Right Time. In fact, he said a lot of record labels or record dealers did not want to deal with him because, you know, they felt Akpala was done with. Anila Mawura and Haruna Ishola were gone. These were the leaders. Even though there were other people, he mentioned Kasumu Adio. He mentioned one of those people in Ogun State who were also
doing Akpala, the Akpala thing.
Akpala people. But that generation was gone by the 2000s, obviously. So he, in 2003, a record label called Joat Records, took it upon themselves to, you know, let's take up this music, and it blew up. It really blew up. So You You was, even though it's like a remake of the Father's song in 1968, but remaking it in 2003 with new sounds, embedding, you know, there was this very jivey, danceable groove to the music. It made everybody accept it. I don't know if there was a touch that, you know, maybe marketing was good. Maybe something was done that made it really good. It blew up across Southwestern State, at least, Akpala music. And he had many quotables. Like, it's not like one part of the song, one part of the album was only blowing up. There was Bala Onisoro, Oro Asora Etoba Mpe. He had many different parts of the song. Like, when you're listening to a 16-minute jam, and you can memorize all of it because all of it is good vibes.
Exactly, like, smash hits. So, I think I remember the first time I heard it.
Do you remember there was a rap verse somewhere? Can I eat?
Yeah.
My girl.
it's quite cool because I think, you know, he was very you know, innovative in terms of the sound. He held no bars, basically. He just went all the way and just did whatever was in his mind. And you could tell, you know, because I think I'm not even sure he knew that was going to be a commercial success. You know how you just make music just because you love it? I felt like he really enjoyed himself making that sound, because anytime I listen to it, you know, I mean, I've not listened to it in a while, if not because of the fact that you had to send it to me again via YouTube. I'm actually great. I'm feeling good that he's the one handling the music in YouTube. Like, most of his stuff on YouTube, he's still the one, you know, running his music thing. And you could tell from the sound that he had already, you know, worked things out, checked around, what's the music that is running now, what can I infuse to make my sound better. But one of the things I actually did, you know, mess with and I enjoyed was, I remember how catchy it was. Most of things in that song, I mean, that was the only song, being that I grew up in a house where, like I said, I listened to all kind of music. So my pops would play King Sonny Ade, Ebenezer Obey, play Michael Jackson, play the Commodores, I'll listen to Atlantic Star. Then I'll switch down to Haruna Shala. So it was always, oh, why do I have to play Haruna Shala? And then, you know, that part where he gets all quack, and then there's a dance, everybody busts, you know, bust the move. That's, even before he gets to that part, there's something that comes before that. Yeah,
that's why I said the entire...
I want to remember,
Bala Onisoro.
No, there's something. No, there's a line. There's an entire verse.
That starts it.
That starts the whole madness. And I'll tell you why. Because now I'm going to paint a Yoruba proper naming ceremony for you right now. O2, outside my street then, Oshine put, you know, the streets is out there, canopies everywhere, big speakers, you understand, looking like a carnival, but no, they're just naming a child. And then you see everybody eating and all of that. They are all looking all cool and formal. And then you play the song. And it gets to that part, and everybody, this is like a preparation. Do you understand? It's almost like a ritual. You are getting ready for, but no, it's from that side. Even the DJ knows what he's doing. So he's playing it from that. I really wish I could remember the words right now.
But you
remember what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a verse that comes. So it prepares you. Like at that point, you see people standing up slowly, getting ready.
Gets the crescendo.
Exactly. It's almost like you are preparing for a breakdown.
This jam, and that's why I talked about charts. If there was a chart that truly represented what the street was moving to in 03-02, then maybe we can tell African Queen was here, and at some point we're going to find Toyo. Because it was a rave. Every this particular hip hop jam, fine girl, so go, like, it was a rave everywhere.
Yeah.
The same way you would pop to Daddy Shoki and Two Face and Blackface.
I mean, music.
It was the same way it was a thing. Pasuma and all the rest
like,
of
them. Like,
I think that's why when I say a genre is dominating, it covers the rest. When we say top 10 songs in Nigeria are Afro beats because they are streaming on AudioMag or they are streaming on Apple. But there is another section in Bariga. There are people in Mushi who don't really... Yes, they listen on radio, but they might not be streaming on Apple. They are jamming Sayoshipa. They are jamming Pasuma. We are not giving those people representation because we believe it is the same because it's on TikTok. Sure, you get my point.
Station,
create alternative charts for the streets. What else is on the other side? Because you can't tell me... I don't know. Some songs don't make it to the chart. So if we're going to make top 100, let's represent everybody. But TTC is doing a lot, connecting all.
I think it's one step at a time.
Streaming platforms, one step at a radio, time. TV. But sadly, it still doesn't mean that all those songs in the background will make it to the charts. But at least let's acknowledge that there's a culture somewhere growing, or, you know.
I think this was a problem in the US in the early days. That's why they splitted the Billboard charts. So there's US R&B, there's US rock and roll, there's US pop scene. There's a different. So
but the
for
Hot
example,
100 is different.
Obviously, the Hot 100 is like where they put everybody together.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what genre you are, whether you're a rap or anything. But I mean, like, when we get to the outfield, I'll be able to explain more again. If you can find yourself in the Hot 100, you know you're a bad guy, because that's regardless of a genre. But if you are,
is the Hot 100 representative of every other person?
Yeah, it's everybody. No, it was the Hot 100. It doesn't matter whether you're in gospel or this is the Hot 100 at the moment.
Yeah.
So, for example, now Dynasty from the 80s, they had many songs in R&B mostly, and you know, there was even a US Black Pop, Black Top 100. US Black Top 100, I think they canceled it now, I'm not even sure. I've not heard about it in a while. US Black 100. So, like, music black people listen to the most. You understand? The black set of people. So, there was a demand, like, segregation. Not necessarily segregation, it was just there because, so that you can acknowledge
other people.
It would be nice if we have, okay, there's Hot 100 for Nigeria, and then there's also Top 10 Gospel, Top 10 R&B, Top 10 Afrobeats, Top 10 rap.
Alternative.
I think they need to do that.
Yeah.
Top 10 rap. So that we know, okay,
there's
rap for this week
here.
Is Payback Iboro that is there as the number one.
Or
Dumodu Black. Or now when he checks the top Nigeria, he might not be there.
Yeah.
He might need to work harder to get there.
Yeah.
Or he might need to be more commercial to get there. But still doesn't take away from, you know, the man.
Mm.
Like you said, I'm very sure if there was a Fuji or there was a alternative Yoruba music chart, this man would be vying for top spot with
people
K1
like
the Ultimate.
K1 at the time, Pasuma,
Saido Shukpa.
Agbaja was popping.
Of
Coco
course.
Bilo was outside.
Exactly. So that would have been a major. But then you'd be able
imagine
to say.
Imagine Coco Bilo.
Exactly.
But Coco Bilo was easily number one in 2002 at some point. every day on TV.
True. Then he said, le,
yo, every other party.
it was
you
cool.
You wake up in the morning.
But then I think. Just you know, talk about Lagwaja because Lagwaja is Lagwaja.
No, we need an interview with Lagwaja, by the way. If we're able to make it happen,
it would be really nice. I need to know how
that's an outlier.
I need to know how Geleodun be Kamo. Wait, I want to know how that song
came about.
I want to know what led the madness that, because let me tell you.
But you know,
Afrobeat is a
cultural
thing.
Man.
Yeah, you know, Afrobeat is a thing.
Yeah.
Listen to Skentele. It's such a beautiful song.
Lagbaja has hits for days.
Oh!
And these are not...
200 million mumu.
Bro.
Mumu.
No. Anything for you. Never Far Away.
And then, no... Exactly.
And then, there are many other songs.
No, no. Big shout out to
you know,
Mrs. Ego.
Omilituri. That was big on channels. AIT. Kilawashi.
Beautiful time, man.
And you know, these were people.
I feel like if we continue talking like this, we might as well forget.
Back to Akpala. Now, let's just wrap up on Musiliu. I like the fact that he kept his father's legacy. I'm happy that he won. That's good to see, because we have had people who also want to keep their parents' legacy. Paul Ike Dairo, the man Ike Dairo, and his son, Paul Ike Dairo, Paul Play, who has continued to keep the legacy, is one of the most respected producers of the early 2000s in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Moshori Reu Eledami, you know, Angel of My Life and all of that. He was like the face of R&B in Nigeria in those early 2000s. And, you know, so people have continued to keep their parents' legacy, which is good. I know King Sunny Ade has children, two or one child, who makes music and dances on stage to Fela Kuti and Femi Kuti, Shem Kuti, and now Mari Kuti. So it's good to see that legacies are being kept alive even when the legends leave. Reading that article, Musiliu Haruna Ishola says he has been able to accomplish that level of respect. He has performed at the highest level across Yoruba states,
yeah,
in front of governors. he said a former governor in Ogun State gave him a car. Also, the current Oni of Ife also gave him a car. So that those are success stories. And now I hope he's getting money from this sample.
I mean, he did say something towards the end of the interview that like he was getting royalties. And he was still getting around. When I saw it, it was quite interesting for me to see.
Royalties from his.
And he continually, acknowledged the fans of his father because he felt like, I'm sure he feels like this guy's just transitioned from my dad to me.
Yeah. I think the pressure came from the fans. Like, let's keep this man's legacy. And he was like, let me take. He was
willing
and ready to.
And ready.
Take it up. So,
and that's cool. That's good. A big one for him.
Hopefully, the money is good. Now, on the flip side, we won't talk too much about Veronica Vega. How did you know about this song? Was it me? Yes.
No.
But a friend of mine sent... Okay, you must have heard it
before. I heard it before, but like, I wouldn't lie to you. I actually thought it was a mix.
Oh, okay.
I told you now.
A friend...
That first time he sent it to me, I told you that, I've heard this before.
Yeah.
I think it's a mix. It's not real. That's what I said.
Okay.
Like, this can be... This is
so a friend of mine sent the link and I listened. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I think you sent it to me immediately.
I was expecting them to do more with the sample.
The sound, yeah. Like, but, maybe put it somewhere else.
What they did is still very good.
And it's cool. It's straight up to the point.
But I'm lost as to what they wanted to achieve.
With the sound, right?
Is it prayer in the beginning or...
That's what I just feel like... I don't
or
know.
Or just the vibe.
I don't know what they were thinking. But yeah. I would have thought, that's a good prayer to start a song. But then you really think
it's
about
not really
it,
a prayer. It's just like an affirmation.
Yeah. Like, it's a good affirmation to start. But then you realize that... Yeah, these guys are not, there's not a lot happening.
And the topic is different. Ishe Oluwa Akuseni Toye, and then they loop it. Ishe Oluwa Jutafa Alo. That's all they picked. The producer, Paulo Dudon, must have done the mix. And Quavo and the lady called Veronica Vega. The much we know about her is that she was a reality TV star, American superstar too. So she was on Love and Hip Hop here in Miami. But she made this song called A Million featuring Quavo of the Migos. And it was, it's about 10 to 11 million views on YouTube now and counting. She made a song about friendships and something relating to the LGBTQ community, etc. It was more about self-love and feeling like a superstar, stuff like that. But I still want to learn about the story of how this came about. So if you'd like to decipher the sample or listen back to the song is A Million by Veronica Vega featuring Quavo. And the song that was sampled is Aruna Ishola, Ishe Oluwa Akuseni Toye,
Ishe Oluwa Ajita.
Or just check out the album So You You and, see where it works. So, good time to flip back to the other side of the conversation, which is the outfield, Wyclef Jean, and Mayokun.
Okay, I think this is the part where I come in to talk. All right, so we're going on with the outfield and, Wyclef Jean, and we're going all the way down to IFA, but we have to start from the top, the guys that started the whole thing. Now, the outfield are one of the enigmatic groups of the 80s. They were there for a while, when I mean there for a while, they were there for a long time. For at least 30 years, they were active until the death of the lead person in the group. From the normal lead of the group is Tony Lewis, but followed by John Splinks. Now, those are the guys that stayed together. We had Alan Jackman, Simon Dawson. That was the group that, made the outfield. Now, the outfield, they made this song, Your Love. But before this, let me quickly tell you about the outfield, yeah? So, the outfield, yeah, this group... that, came from the UK and they did what was not expected of them. I'll explain why what was not expected of them. I was talking about it before. Normally, I think I've explained to you also before, when MTV opened in 1981, there was this, flow in of, songs from the UK. But the thing about it was, it was a hierarchy thing. You had to be good in the UK for you to get into the US. That's just the only way it made sense. You cannot be bad in the UK or not completely known. Now, not to say the outfield were bad, because trust me, those guys have a triple platinum album in the US. That's how big they were. Platinum albums were not seen all the time. I mean, Diamond is the biggest, but platinum albums in the 80s from a UK group in the US is major. Big deal. And that was not, they didn't stop. They had three major albums in the US that charted 6, 9, or 10. 6, 9, and 10. I think that's how they ended the year. So, that's how big they were. They were not just the regular group. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why I say they were enigmatic, because if you go on and you talk to people that were in the UK, then, the names they would call for you were easy to think about. Billy Ocean. I mean, Billy Ocean did very well in the US, but he was first big
in the UK.
In the UK. Do you understand? A man from Birmingham. Talk about five star. Amazing guys. Very big in the UK, transitioning to the US, proper markets. Obviously, they were making music for the world, not just for the UK people. So they came in, you know, got in and they ruled the place.
Mm.
Cousins, five cousins, amazing. Then we have, you know, people like Sting and the Police. The Police, amazing. Come on, there's no need to talk about. Like, you understand what I'm saying? These guys were already pop stars where they were. And then you have the Outfield. I think the name suits them very well.
Mm.
Because
they like outliers.
Exactly. Outliers. And it's quite interesting about what they did with their time, because called a couple of guys and I think these guys are good representation. And then I was going to miss them. Thank God. Loose ends. I'm sure you have heard of loose ends before. Yeah. Those guys were big.
US or UK?
UK.
Okay.
And then they, you know, they just fit in perfectly into the US crowd. So many groups like that. And you know, one of the things that you would want to look out for is it was at that point it was a necessity. You had, if you were not big at home, it didn't just even make sense at all for you to be, you know, a proper, you know,
seller. You know, you see the same thing. So there's someone an artist that I had a chat with sometimes, and he's a Nigerian artist in America. So and I'll say, what does it take for a Nigerian out there to break into radio or to break into the market within your space? He now says, yo, you have to come and pop in Nigeria. He says it's only Burna Boy that they know in his state. It's only Burna Wiz. It's only top three, Burna Wiz and Davido. But more recently, Burna Boy is the shit. Because, you know, Burna Boy is on a different level when it comes to streaming.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking numbers. I'm talking being able to identify that this artist has this many songs. You know, On The Low, Angelina. What am I saying? Anybody, yay. Burna Boy has a different streaming identity, and I don't mean a shade to everybody else. You know, we can talk about Wiz and you talk about Essence. You talk about Davido, you talk about Four. Burna doesn't have just one song. It's like albums, bodies of work. Outside, African Giants, he has a good number of things that are working for him. So that's why you can see the touring success.
Yeah.
Amsterdam, France, Three Nights, UK, Sweden, Hungary. I'm not saying Hungary, but, you know, everywhere. Geneva, Switzerland.
Mm.
I mean, look at that. So, the strategy for Burna is different. But back to the talk. He's saying that the community where he is in, even within the Nigerian community in America, you have to come and pop in Nigeria first.
Exactly.
When you pop in Nigeria,
then you go there to pop.
Then maybe a deal, maybe connects can find you and then say, let's export the music. Apart from the top three, we see that CK, Fireboy, and a few, Joe Boy, are making that transition as well. Let's sell to the American market. In fact, it has, you know, I believe it's now a lot easier to jump. Thames can now do festivals in America like a regular global artist. So it's dope as hell, and it's good to see. But I was amazed at the fact that you need to come to Nigeria, pop. And we have seen examples. I don't know if you know Bills, Killer Chief, those two.
I know Killer Chief.
Bills also, you know, has come around, done a few songs. He'll go back and then. So I'm amazed at the fact that you need to come and pop here and familiarize yourself.
Because that's how it works normally. So that's why there's an unusual experience with the Outfield. And, you know, after their first two albums, they did very, very well. But, you know, as it is, you know, not be every time your glory go to shine. Sometimes your soap power go finish. So, they did very well in the early stages. And I remember their Play Deep album was all the way number 9 on the Billboard chart, the Billboard 200. And, you know, they were the in guys. And then the song, Your Love. Now, this Your Love song, I don't even know why it's the biggest song from their songs, because they have a couple of very catchy songs. I'm not the biggest pop rock fan, that's why I don't know many of their songs. Mm. But they were forced to record with.
I do like Alpha that View. No,
Alpha View did synth pop. Yeah, okay. Germany guys, they did synth pop. No, German, Swedish or German, one of them.
Oh, yeah, one of
the, I think Swedish, I think German.
German.
Yeah, so I think some of them are Swedish as well. Oh, okay. So it's like a Swedish
group,
German group. So yeah, and they went on and on, and they did their music. And trust me, Your Love was one of those songs that, you know, probably one of their biggest songs. That has to be the hit you remember them for.
Hmm.
Not like they didn't have other songs that were big, but you know how there's one, for example, I think talking about quickly branching out to Aaron Oshola, there's always one song that you cannot beat.
Yeah.
I mean, is it, you know, no. Think about for Michael Jackson, what song is that?
He's not one. It's four.
That's why he's an amazing artist. But
from bad, not even bad. Beat It, Speechless. You Rock My World, and there's one big one.
Oh, yeah, Thriller. Black or White.
Thriller. So it's Black not even White. Five. It's like six songs.
Yeah, and then You wanna be starting something.
Yeah, so Mama Say, Mama Say,
and that was side B. That's another story for another day. Yeah. But then you know
that's Burna. Burna doesn't have one big song. Look at the shows, bro.
Yeah.
He would play anybody. And I like how he introduces the unpopular song to new audiences through dope performances. So you pick a song like, not even On The Low, On The Low is big. You pick a song like Celebrate, not even Celebrate. There's a song where he's talking about, he said, so tell me, what am I supposed to do when everybody turn? That song is not in his top 10. But when you see the, he will make,
I mean, you, have he you will seen, make the crowd. Have you seen? Yes, we are attitude, blessed, but it's harder to see sometimes. Have you seen them perform that song?
I've not seen it. But he always brings a different energy to the performance. So the song takes a life of its own from then on.
You know, we used to talk about, sometimes we branch out to Wizkid, but I think we need to talk about how good Burna is
a total artist.
I saw just very small, but you could tell the crazy energy that came when he started. He had never done anything, but we are blessed, but it's harder to see sometimes.
You
can see people going,
it's wild.
Can you get a bit there,
so performance, and like, you need to see how he sets them up when he wants to get them to groove. Now wave, and then I want to see circles around here. I want to see that's for performing Yaba Buluku or Kweku Free Pong. And every song has an energy. If it's Kilometer, it's wild. If it's Gwese with Zlatan,
so everybody always has basically what we're talking about.
Burna is on that level.
Yeah, everybody always has one song, but for some is many. Yeah, I think Whiskey is on that level as well. Maybe Davido too, on that level as well. Those guys are bad guys.
But there's something about Burna.
All right. Whatever you say. The outfield. Now, those guys, they don't have just one song, but they are known for one major song. It's like Culture Club. Come a chameleon. That's not the only song Boy George did the wonder on. But that song is going to haunt him forever. In a good way. You understand? I like Vanilla Ice, baby. That's the same way it is for, you know, The Outfield. And they did that song, and it's a beautiful song. And I'm sure that song must have been heard by Wyclef Jean at one particular time. And it's like, this is a beautiful song. And that's what led to L-O-V-E, I Love You. I Don't Want to Lose Your Love Tonight, all the way from 2004.
So
now switching.
Time to switch. Before you switch, Outfield, UK, US, what year was that?
1985.
85, which you always say is one of the biggest
biggest year for music.
What was Michael doing in 85?
Michael was getting ready to release
Thriller.
No, Bad. Yeah, already released Thriller.
Okay. Now, 85, fast forward to 2000.
That's a very good thing. What was Michael doing at that point? Yeah, he was recording for Bad. Yeah, that's what he was doing. Mad, Epic Records. Mad. And Baba Quincy.
And Felati was popping.
Felati Kolakboguti, come on, was popping at that time. He had just finished a couple of, I think he went to Paris during that year frame, that 80s year frame. So,
let's talk Wyclef. Where was Wyclef in 85?
Wyclef Jean, 85.
Not outside yet.
Not outside, but he was always
outside
there
in
the 90s. 8 years later, he released the album, The Score.
With the Fugees.
Now that I escaped, sleep, walked away. Oh, yo, I feel like I know the old verse, but you know what?
But no, it's in your touch.
Yo.
Now, Wyclef Jean is one of our heroes in Nigeria from outside. I don't know where that connection came from, but he connects so much to us.
I want to say this big out now, this time, to say a little thing about Wyclef Jean. Wyclef Jean is a spiritual person.
Yeah.
And he's such an amazing... Look at that Rwanda
song.
I don't need to know him, but I know he's an amazing soul.
Look at that Rwanda song.
Oh, as you just said it now, I got the goosebumps, the chills I had. Oh, that same song. Rwanda, Rwanda.
So, I don't know. I caught up later. My first major
in Africa
major connection to Wyclef was
I'm the one who's searching.
No, that's OJB.
That's for OJB.
But my first major connection was the Shakira song.
But I'm very sure I'm the one who's searching was a big connect with what Wyclef Jean was doing.
Sounds like it. Come on, we can't confirm.
Okay, Hips Don't Lie was your first song.
Yeah, technically. But there was Diallo Mine too. Was there was Diallo at some point. 911. Yeah, 911 was big.
With Major Blige.
I think we're talking about
LOV with Eve in 2004.
So let's just talk briefly.
Hips Don't Lie. Whoa. Let me tell you, that song was probably number one Billboard Hot 100.
Number one.
Yeah, number one.
First song in the world.
Yeah, yeah. And then
he was big actually.
I think in Nigeria. If there was a chart, that's it was number one.
2007.
Because when you hear
there were Nigerian versions.
Shakira, Shakira.
So you know there were Yoruba versions of that song.
Yeah.
People made Suliya, if you talk like it was weird. The same way Oreti Okomon did that magic system.
Yeah, yeah.
There were many domestication of that Wyclef time. So Wyclef in the impact and everything, this song, how did it come about? Who collaborated with him on that? Is that a solo record?
Yeah, it wasn't a solo record. He did it with Eve.
Okay.
And no, there was a rap title song, L-O-V-E.
Oh, okay.
So, and the thing is, the sample was a direct sample of The Outfield.
Yeah.
So, you can tell that they are the same song, just in a different way.
And you said reggaeton. What's that about?
Yeah, you know that. That reggae thing at that time, Sean Paul
energy.
That shake that thing, girl. Yada yada
shake
that thing. Yeah.
Yo.
Wait, I remember.
The clubs were not the clubs without those songs.
I'm trying to remember one.
Do you know Sean Paul Kishako?
Which one remind me?
Oh man,
I'm trying to. I'm still in love with you, boy.
So reggae had its moments in America.
Oh no, I have to do for that song and play it. I'm sorry. I know
reggae had its moments, and that's why what's going on right now. We have to make the best of it. Afrobeat is wavy.
Oh, I'm coming.
It's wavy in America.
I have something to say about that, but I need to look for this song. I just want to play the beginning.
Yeah, it's cool. So reggae and Sean Paul and Wyclef and a few, you know, Daddy Yankee, right?
Yeah.
I don't know, Daddy Yankee. They were,
it was actually Sasha, not
Kishako. But there was
a blame come the thing them call a broken heart. This blessed love will never part. They don't know it from the start. Me tell them say a dirty. A Sean Paul and Sasha. Come sing for them, baby.
So this is this is reggae, right? Or
yeah,
reggaeton.
Reggaeton. Yeah, and it's the same energy. And then you think about, you know, what they did with this sound, and it was really, really cool because I mean, I think one of the reasons why Wyclef Jean did this was because, you know, at that time, a lot of people were doing, you know, that kind of sound. Like, listening to what Sasha and Sean Paul did with that. In that album, I think the name of the album was Dirty Rock, and it was a big one. The genre is called reggae, obviously, but reggaeton makes much more sense because it kind of, like, streamlines it a little bit, so you understand why, you know, the sound was sounding like that. And it was making that kind of vibe. But it was the in thing. So obviously, it just made perfect sense that, you know, that was what was popping at the time. So one of the sounds that, you know, we like to, it was kind of cool because he brought in, obviously, Eve. And him and Eve made that amazing tune called L-O-V-E. I don't know what he was actually thinking about, but I'm sure he was trying to probably tell somebody that he loves, you know, them. And it was just perfect, obviously. L-O-V-E. It was just really cool, that song, you know. Okay, the name of the album is 51st Dates. Wow, I never knew that. It was a huge song. It was a huge song, Sha. All in all, huge song.
So down to Ayonfe, we always get a chance to talk about
I've not Wyclef finished Jean. Talking about Wyclef Jean, though. So Wyclef Jean, still talking about him too. I feel like he should be put in that level of Abamyeda too. And I'll tell you why. Because that man, his spirit, I don't know him, but I can I don't know if it's possible for you to feel somebody's spirit from here.
Juno Nice made like a dedication song to him. A song.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was in that 2008 album. No,
yeah, that certificate. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a very. He just had that, you know. And I remember there was this time he did something with San Sultan of Blessed Memory. I think there was somewhere there was this
lion,
video
lion
one time.
In the city. Lion at home, dog in the city.
This one was even a normal, I think it was a normal session where he was playing, he was just playing the guitar for South Sudan, and South Sudan was just, you know, doing his, you know, rhythmic things on it. And then I think he sang Ajoda Bile, no matter what. And then you could tell that, you know,
even there's a connection.
Yeah, like you could feel that, okay, this is my brother taking my, you know. And then,
one of those Wyclef moments, you were going to make another point?
Yeah, I was going to talk about also Wyclef again, you know, in all of spirituality. The USA for Haiti. USA for Haiti, you know, the second one they did again. Yeah. No same hula.
Pretty much like, okay.
We are the children. But you understand? Yeah, and he did this thing now where Justin Bieber started and Kanye was, you know, everybody asking me. You know.
Lil Wayne was there.
And this
was 2010.
Oh, yeah, man.
Crazy times, man. It's crazy, man,
because I just remember all of the lights. And I remember how crazy we used to go when Kanye verse comes up. Kanye has been an OG forever.
For real, man.
I mean, like, we're in 2022 and we're still talking Kanye, man.
Yeah.
I remember that year when all of the lights go, Kanye's like, bass, like, that first part, I remember that. I'm trying to remember the line now.
You should remember around this
MJ
song,
dead. MJ gone. Do you know the next line?
Yeah.
Oh, this is why everybody gets crazy. We wait for MJ gone. And day. And that was the same vibe.
And it was around the same time when MJ passed.
Yeah,
2009.
So that, when it gets to that part, everybody in the house, like, can be in different corners. And then everybody keeps quiet. Because they're waiting for...
And Kanye actually has iconic verses.
And that's the thing. And then, like, it's like family ties. You know family ties, right?
Baby Kim?
No.
The song?
Is it Family Feud?
I don't know.
Jay-Z and... I have to play that song for you immediately to get off here.
Oh, okay.
That's a big one from Kanye West.
Oh, okay.
Family Business.
Oh, okay. But you know Good Life with...
Come on, welcome to the good life, better than Run the last
town.
I live. Come on. Oh, I just had that one right now. I just pictured that.
What you think I... This is the life that everybody asks for. What you think I rap for to push a... Can rap for?
Come on,
Run This Town verse. So many, many Kanye verses and production level too. You know, he's a weird guy, but
yeah. And then, you know, we're just still talking about this because obviously Wyclef Jean is a special being, and that song was a very, very big one from the album 51st Date. And you know, the song was just so. It wasn't the biggest song, but it was cool. Everybody, it was like, I mean, this was the lonely era now. From Akon.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that video of Akon as well. I'm not trying to digress too much, but Wyclef Jean is a special being. The reason why I'm not going to talk too much about him right now, because I know we're going to definitely talk about him again. This is like the second or third time.
Yeah,
first time we spoke about the Fugees. Now we're talking Wyclef Jean.
We have done the Hips on Lie sample.
Oh, yeah, we have done that as well.
A Nigerian sample. Yes, we did.
Have we?
Yeah, let me remember. It was in the Migos episode, the Temptation.
There are some episodes I can't even remember.
No, Migos sampled Temptation that
Papa was a Rolling Stone.
And on the other side of that episode, we did, French Montana sampling.
Oh, yeah, I remember the song now.
Sampling.
Oh, yeah, I think you should
Fuck With Me and Get It Back. Sampling, what's it called? Wyclef Jean and
Shakira. Hips Don't Lie. I think you should talk about Ayanfe.
So yeah, Ayanfe and Mayokun. Ayanfe is that guy. I don't know how to explain. He's one of those guys that you know.
No, man, I'm sorry.
Super talented.
I'm just still remembering MJ gone. A nigga dead.
Ayanfe is undeniably talented. You can see it. You can hear it from first listen, right? And he's in 30 BG. I don't know so much about him, but this song is one of the best Amapiano songs. Out of Nigeria 2021, I believe. Mayokun killed it.
Yeah.
The production produced by Fresh VDM, Mad as Hell. And, you know, I don't have so much to say about the song, only that Mayokun is that guy that can make up choruses. He's that guy that can come up with... You know, Mayokun has so many hit songs, and I'm yet to see him I believe that Mayokun is coming. That's touring Mayokun. That's shut down. Not like he has not been shutting down shows, but I want to see, because there are many hits. Mama, Posh.
Yeah, so you can actually just go all the way.
Mayokun has 20 smash hits that will shut down a show anywhere. So, but I've not seen that Mayokun do, maybe not, you know, people like Kizan, no disrespect. Everybody's touring. So I want to see Mayokun, that mayor of Lagos energy, that prince of Afrobeats energy, because Wiz is king. A few people can lay claim to the position of prince.
True.
And that's on Rema, Fireboy, and whoever. But Mayokun was outside before these boys came. And there are many hits. And it's not just hits. He has made hits for DMW in many ways. He has produced hits for... So I want to see him own that position of the prince of Afrobeats.
Do you think... Something just popped into my head.
Because right he's a very talented guy.
Yeah, something just popped into my head. Do you think hits, the definition of hits has changed?
Yeah, absolutely. Hits are the wash away now. After 2 weeks... You don't hear anything anymore.
Nah, because
the wave is
No,
it's just,
I don't
crazy.
Think about it. I think about the context, bro, of the word hit.
When Kwaku Frimpong, Kwaku the Traveler came out, Finesse was just 2 weeks, 4 weeks old, and he just stepped away.
Yeah.
Not like he stepped away. He went to number two or number five. Asake popped for 2 weeks. So the time is not this chart thing, this music streaming chart thing, I don't know. It's not, I don't know what's going on. A new Mavy Boy came out and he went number one in 10 hours. And Kwaku Frimpong.
I'm a Kwaku Frimpong.
In my money. So something is not right. Adekule Gold dropped an album. Amazing album. But we can't listen. We only listen for 2 weeks. We listen for 2 weeks and we're on to the next thing. So the wave is moving too fast.
I think that's why these guys need to tour.
We need to
move. And we need more concerts. We need more content.
Yeah, so that, I mean...
I didn't forget the twerk.
So, we need to... I don't know what's going on, but not like the songs fade out, but the hit value, the value of a hit has reduced greatly. The value, except a song like Essence that took on a life of its own and then went away.
Yeah.
Like, just kept going, organically.
Wambino.
Organically and peyoli. Peyolically. So...
Wambino.
Solid stuff. But this song... The same is it's a different part of the Wyclef song.
Yeah, but it's the same. Like, but like, I mean, it's obvious that this was birthed by Wyclef.
Let me try and play just a part of it. This is awkward, but
I mean, going all the way to YouTube right now, you know, helping lives, helping us play music.
So, there's a part of the song that then gets to what's going on, what's going on? Huh? No. Oh yeah, come. We'll go edit.
Damian and the building, D45.
Oh,
D45, Opa.
Now this is the part. So that's just the part. That's flow.
And we like it.
So
that's
what was Wyclef saying
in
there? So you go tell me what you going outside tonight. There's a part on that LOVE song by Wyclef. That does that same thing. So, random stuff. Mayokun. I've not seen so many other songs by Iron Fair, but I know.
Okay, I can't find the song, but then
African vibe.
You can just listen vibe. To it, and of course you'll be able to see the link
Focus,
that we're talking
pretend
about.
Pretend by Midili. Yeah. Yeah. That's about that.
Yeah, that's about that. That's about it. But then you know.
This was good.
Yeah, awesome. In fact, I didn't even know this episode was going to turn out like this.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's fresh.
Outfield, Iron Fair, Wyclef Zone.
Outfield 1985, Iron Fair 2021. We had Wyclef Zone 2004 and Mr. Soyoyo Special.
2003.
Yeah, but the original was done in 1968 though.
Yeah.
By his father.
Time. That's a long time.
Big, big one.
That's a very long time.
Very long time.
We'll see you next time.
Follow
us on Spotify, like us, you know, follow on Twitter,
share with your friends, let people listen to us,
Sample
talk
Access
to
Pod. Please share our stuff so that we can feed.
Yes, boss.
That's about it. We'll see you next time.
We out.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah, let me try that.